Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. Early voting. Early voting for the joint primary election March 1st through Friday will take place at the following locations. Early voting at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th Street, has been scheduled for 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. through Friday. Early voting schedule at the branch location will take place from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. through Friday at Kellis Turner Community Building, the Globe Theater at Odessa College, Salinas Community Building, and MCM Elegante Hotel. For sample ballots or more information, call the election office at 432-498-4030 in Odessa or 432-688-4890 in Midland. Free AARP Tax Aid. AARP is offering free tax assistance to seniors by appointment from through April 12th at Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue. Masks are required. To schedule appointment, call 432-337-5281. Free concert. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin Choir has scheduled a free concert, Loss and Hope, Praise and Joy, at 7 p.m. today at the Rhea Great House in the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 in Midland. This concert will feature student conductors and special guest Kamisi Green. TWEI Virtual Water Lecture Series. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin College of Engineering, 11105 West Highway 191, Midland, has scheduled Texas Water and Energy Institute Lecture Series from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Thursday's speaker will be Shankar Chellam, Professor and Holder of the AP and Florence Wiley Professorship in the Zachary Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Texas A&M University. Topics will include fit-for-purpose coagulation of Permian Basin-produced water for reuse in hydraulic fracturing. For more information, call 432-552-3430. Annual State of Downtown Odessa Address Luncheon. Downtown Odessa Incorporated has scheduled the 6th Annual State of Downtown Odessa Address Luncheon at 11:30 a.m. Thursday at the Copper Rose Building. Downtown Master Plan Public Unveiling. The City of Midland and Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone Board Number 1, Downtown TIRZ, welcome citizens and guests to the Downtown Master Plan Public Unveiling. The event will be held from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday at the Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue. There will be live music, light refreshments, and door prizes for attendees. This event will serve as a capstone for over 6 months of vision work and planning, which included public engagement, business input, and city review. For more information, call 432-335-4300. 4836. Partnership with SkillPoint, PSP Begins, by Michael Bauer. Greenwood. The Permian Strategic Partnership and SkillPoint Alliance held a press conference Tuesday morning at Greenwood ISD in the Distance Learning Building to announce the expansion of SkillPoint's Rapid Skills Training Program to the Permian Basin. SkillPoint Alliance, which is based out of Austin, is a nonprofit organization that provides fast-paced, no-cost job training in the skilled trades to lower-income, underserved, and under-accessed populations. Tuesday's press conference featured about 20 people in attendance who came out to listen to representatives from PSP and SkillPoint Permian Basin talk about their collaboration. Greenwood Superintendent Ariel Elliott also spoke at the press conference. "We've entered in a partnership with Permian Strategic Partnership to bring our program here to the Permian Basin area to launch our programs to help individuals get the training that they need to start their careers." CEO of SkillPoint Alliance, Kevin Brackmeyer, said after the press conference when talking to the media. Brackmeyer said the collaboration between SkillPoint Alliance and the Permian Strategic Alliance has been going on for 9 months now. SkillPoint Permian Basin will offer rapid training programs in electrical, HVAC, and plumbing, among others, to Permian Basin communities in West Texas and Southeast New Mexico, with programming scheduled to be launched by the end of 2022. As part of the first phase of the expansion into the Permian Basin, SkillPoint Alliance will be working to secure its office and training locations and hire key personnel by July. Those positions include a Permian Basin program lead, office staff, class instructors, and a rural programming coordinator. "The timeline is we start today with advertising for the position for a director that can get the program going," Brackmeyer said. "Then we'll hire other key staff, including recruitment and admissions. Those are all key components of the program and instructors." Permian Strategic Partnership CEO and President Tracy Bentley was also at the press conference and spoke more about the collaboration effort. "The Permian Strategic Partnership has been working with SkillPoint Alliance to bring this program to our region for a little under a year," Bentley said. "We're hopeful and our goal is to have our office with a leader here so we can start implementing programs and start working directly with the school districts within the next several months." A press release stated that initial funds to expand the program to the Permian Basin will be provided through a grant allocated by the PSP. The training program has been funded through its first 4 years. After the grant period, the training program will have become an established part of the workforce ecosystem in the Permian Basin and will self-fund through a mix of philanthropic, state, and local dollars. While Tuesday's announcement took place at Greenwood ISD, Bentley says the project has been designated so that it can work with every single school district across the Permian Basin, which includes the 22 counties in West Texas and New Mexico that Permian Strategic Partnership operates in. That's one of the beautiful things about this project, Bentley said. We started with Greenwood ISD because they showed a significant interest in helping us launch this program. Bentley talked about how the program is designed to act on children who are getting ready to graduate or kids that are already graduated and may be looking to make a career move or go into something completely different. However, she also said that the program is for participants who want to make a career change or maybe have been laid off or are looking to increase their wages. That's the beautiful thing about this program, Bentley said. We've designed it specifically for everyone in the Permian Basin, including high school graduates and beyond who are interested in learning a new skill and changing their life. Bentley also talked about how flexible the program will be. We know that this program needs to be flexible to meet people with where they're at, not only with their family needs, but their current employment situation, Bentley said. We're going to design it area specific. If training needs to be in the evenings, then that's where it will be. If there are opportunities to do it in the daytime because of family obligations, then we can also do that. The goal of the project is to fill a critical workforce need in the Permian Basin. I think there's been a job shortage around here for quite some time, so any way that we can create opportunities for people to get a better job, it'll benefit the businesses, but also the people that are trying to get the jobs, Elliot said. Early Childhood Network gets new coordinator by Ruth Campbell. Following a short retirement after a varied educational career, Jessica Garrett is back to work as the coordinator of the Early Childhood Action Network. ECAN is a offshoot of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, a nonprofit organization focused on supporting and improving the quality of education throughout the Permian Basin from cradle to career, its website said. Garrett, who retired as an associate professor of educational leadership at the University of Texas Permian Basin, has been in the coordinator spot for 2 weeks as of the week of February 14. I'm still drinking from the fire hose, literally, she said. Garrett replaces Mike Mills, who was head of Education Midland and then helmed ECAN after the organization unified with the Education Partnership. He has gone to work in the business community, but Education Partnership Executive Director Adrian Vega said he will stay involved with the leadership team. A native Midlander, Garrett graduated from what is now Legacy High School and went to West Texas A&M University. She earned a bachelor's in elementary education with a special education certification. Returning to Midland, she taught school at what is now Bowie Elementary School and DeZaliva Elementary. While she was teaching, Garrett received a master's degree in leadership administration from UTPB. She was the assistant principal at Rusk Elementary for 4 years, then got her doctorate from Sam Houston State University in Huntsville. Garrett was a principal in Anderson, Shiro, and Willis, Texas, before Sam Houston State pulled her into work into higher education. She moved back to the Permian Basin 12 years ago. Garrett has 2 daughters. She added that she was an early adopter of the collective impact model that the partnership and its action networks are based on. Garrett met people with educated Midland and worked with them into the unification. The groups realized it was going to take everyone to solve the education issues in the Permian Basin, Garrett said. We like to call them wicked problems because they're not well defined, and we don't really know how to fix them. They're just big and they're messy. And so we really see our role here more like a facilitation role. We're on a backbone organization. We get all the people together at the table who are equipped and have the capacity to look at what we call these wicked problems, Garrett said. That's a term. It's a real thing. The great thing that we have found is how open and willing the community is to really dig in and do this work. That requires a level of trust that the two communities haven't always had with each other. But we really feel like we have put together a phenomenal board. I can't say enough wonderful things about our board and then a really strong leadership team, she said. They are working with a firm called Boldly Go on their strategic plan. She added that ECAN works closely with Texas Workforce Solutions, Permian Basin, and has spoken to Patty Stewart there about early childhood care. A lot lower income parents may not send their children to childcare or preschool because of the cost and the waiting lists. COVID impacted a lot of childcare providers and some shut down, Garrett said. If more childcare was available, it could be more competitive and maybe the rates wouldn't be as high. She added that if a child is sent to school kindergarten ready, they will be more successful. ECAM provides power bags to hospitals and pediatrician offices. Power stands for the power of early words and reading. The bags are provided to parents of newborns and include information about the importance of speaking, interacting, and reading to the newborn. Garrett says she was drawn to the ECAN post because it was a chance to make a difference. Her parents, Robert and Diane Garrett, are very service-oriented. Her brother, who lives in Stanton, also is very community-oriented, as are his sons. I think it's just in the fabric of our family and who we are and how we grew. It's where I'm happiest, is serving others and making a difference in our community, she added. Obituaries. Laura Hale Davis, Midland. Laura Hale Davis, 96, loving wife, mother, and grandmother of Midland, passed away peacefully at home on Thursday, February 17th. Laura was born on November 30th, 1925, in Lorain, Texas, to Nettie and Charlie Hale. On February 23, 1952, Laura married to Morris Shelton Davis in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They were married for 62 years. Laura is preceded in death by her parents, Charlie and Nettie Hale, sisters Mamie McFerrin, Avelle, Bridget, Bernice Vanyan, Jean Ann Paget, brother Charles Hale, and son-in-law L.B. Tennyson, Jr. Laura is survived by daughters Tanya Tennyson of Odessa, Catherine Billington, her husband Randy of Midland, 8 grandchildren, 28 great-grandchildren, and 8 great-great-grandchildren, 4 brothers Doyle Hale of Stanton, Bill Hale of Brownwood, Hubert Hale and his wife Flo of Stanton, Kenneth Hale and his wife Bobby Fay of Proctor, 1 sister, Betty Sue Crocker of Big Spring, numerous nieces and nephews whom she loved dearly. Visitation with the family is scheduled for 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, February 25th at Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Services are scheduled Saturday, February 26th at 9:30 a.m. at Cotton Flat Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Hospice of Midland, Cotton Flat Baptist Church, Greenfield Acres Baptist Church, or to the charity of your choice. Arrangements are by Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Leah Claiborne Gonzalez, Odessa. Leah Claiborne Gonzalez, age 60, of Odessa, is now with the love of her life, Raymond, on their favorite day, February 14th. Celebration of life will be held Tuesday, March 1st, at First United Methodist Church in Odessa. Leah was blessed with parents Keith and Clarice Claiborne on December 5th, 1961, in El Paso, Texas. Leah is preceded in death by her father, Mason Keith Claiborne, and husband, Raymond Gonzalez. Leah is survived by her mother, Leah Clarice Claiborne, children, son Jason Crowder and wife Dawn of Odessa, daughter Jamie Riggs and husband Quinn of Odessa, son Dustin Talaferro, daughters Misty Hunter and husband Clint of California, Jennifer Oliva, Cassie Wright and husband Mason of Odessa, and Brandy Case and husband Mikey of Odessa. 12 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren, brother Robert Claiborne, sister Lori Rowland, 1 niece and 3 nephews. Memorials can be sent to First United Methodist Church. The guest book can be signed in person at the church or online at Acres West website. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Increased urination may follow chaotic heartbeats. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a woman, 74 years old, and in fair health. 8 years ago, I had surgery for lung cancer. The first night after, I was told I had atrial fibrillation due to the surgery being so close to the heart. I was started on metoprolol every now and then. I would feel that my heart skipped a beat. My pulse was usually normal, and my doctors fluffed it off. I had shortness of breath to a mild degree from the surgery, but now it is pronounced on even slight exertion. I also have stress incontinence and overactive bladder. I went to the urologist because there were episodes that awakened me with a rush to the toilet. Sometimes 4 to 5 times in a row with diuresis. It was a large amount of urine. My real object of writing to you is the diuresis. Have you ever heard of this? I am not on a diuretic. Usually the episodes occur at home and at night, but recently this occurred on the way to dinner out. It was really close that I made it to the toilet and then back to the toilet 3 more times during the dinner. Answer. Diuresis, your main concern, is just a Greek word meaning increased urination. Frequent urination is a common sign of overactive bladder, especially in a woman in your 70s. The sensation of needing to get to the bathroom right away is suggestive of overactive bladder. However, the amount of urine is usually small. Atrial fibrillation is primarily an electrical problem of the heart, causing a chaotic lack of rhythm that is sometimes too fast for the heart to work properly. Surgery on the heart or lung is a common cause. Some people are in atrial fibrillation all the time, while others go in and out of it. During a period of fast atrial fibrillation, the heart may be unable to provide all the blood the body needs, and among the first organs to lose adequate blood supply during stress are the kidneys.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman refuses to embrace ex-husband's reappearance. Dear Abby, I was married for 10 years before I found out my ex was living a double life. Other women, children, etc. We divorced, and afterward I provided the best possible life for our 3 children. My ex was the typical deadbeat dad, never there for his children. 12 years later, my children are adults, and he has decided to show up and start a relationship with them. Anytime they have milestones with church, college, jobs, wedding, etc., he is there. I have stepped back and let them decide what kind of relationship they want with him. Even worse, my ex has also rekindled his relationship with my parents and siblings. He's turning my family against me, although we have both remarried. When I try to talk to them about it, they say, "I'm sorry you feel that way. He's changed. Why can't you forgive him?" Abby, my ex stole his business partner's money to live his double life. If he has changed, why is he once again trying to turn my family against me? What do I do? Must I divorce myself from my parents and siblings? Signed, Never Rid of Him. Dear Never Rid, a man who lives a double life, neglects his responsibilities as a parent, and steals from his business partner without trying to make amends to all of them, doesn't appear to have changed. Your children, parents, and siblings have chosen to forgive and welcome him back into the fold, regardless of how it affects you. He must be one heck of a salesman. It's time to look into your heart and decide how much of this togetherness you can tolerate. Some discussions with a licensed mental health professional could be helpful in this regard. If, after that, you conclude that less contact with your parents and siblings under these circumstances would be healthier for you, then do what is best for yourself. Dear Abby, my stepson is being released from prison after assaulting his 9-year-old stepdaughter in my home. He plans on living here with us, with his dad's blessing. A few years ago, I was sexually assaulted, and I still suffer from PTSD because of it. It's getting worse as the release date approaches. My stepson has problems with drugs and alcohol, as well as anger issues. He expects us to pay for whatever he wants. We have spent a third of our retirement money on his legal expenses, and there are no plans for him to pay us back. He has mistreated my dog several times, and I do not trust him. Am I wrong for not wanting him in my home? My husband has turned a deaf ear to my concerns. I guess blood is thicker than water. Signed, Dreading It in the West. Dear Dreading It, trust your instincts. Because your husband has chosen to ignore your concerns about his son living with you, the time has come for you to take care of yourself. Consult an attorney about protecting whatever assets you still have before they are completely depleted. Take your dog and get out of there now. Believe me, you have my sympathy. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com. or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.